Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us his grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of his kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
Rock of ages, care for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. You are my shield, you are my covering, you are my stability, my foundation, you are my shield, you are my covering, you are my stability, my foundation. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we worship. Do you know this song that says, Kadosh, 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 Kadosh? You know the song? Kadosh, 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 Kadosh. Is the Lamb who sits upon the throne. He alone is worthy of my praise. Kadosh, 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 Kadosh. Kadosh, 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 Kadosh. Is the Lamb who sits upon the throne. He alone is worthy of my praise. Amen. So today we'll continue our series, and the sub-theme for this morning is Walk Out Your Salvation. Walk out your salvation. Please, I need everybody to pay attention and avoid movements. Even if you are a church worker, try to avoid movement. This is the most important point of church service, so that you are not distracted. Hallelujah to Jesus. And so that church today will profit you. So let's start from Philippians 2 and verse 12. Philippians 2 and verse 12. Tell your friends, don't distract me. Tell your neighbor. Tell to your neighbor, everyone. Say, don't distract me. Don't allow Satan to use you this morning. Because it's possible Satan can use your friend to distract you. If he could use Peter to distract, to dare to distract Jesus, who was the chief of the apostles, he will use your friend. You know your friend is not even like Peter yet. So please refuse to be distracted. Are we together? Philippians 2 and from verse 12. I want everybody to read together. One, two, go. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, walk out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now let's see from verse 11, then we'll read it to verse 13. Alright, so from verse 11, one to go. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory Now, you know, we're coming from somewhere. What was this talking about? You know, where he was given a name above all names, isn't it? That the name of Jesus, every knee bows and every tongue confess. You know this part of scripture, isn't it? That he humbled himself to death and the Lord gave him a name above all names, right? And I think this is the conclusion of that part. And we're kind of entering into another phase of understanding in that part of scripture. So verse 12, it then says, therefore, so if we say therefore, we're saying on the strength of something we had said before. Are we together? So if I'm talking to you and I say therefore, it is because I'm trying to hinge on what I've been saying before. Are we together? Does this make sense to anybody here? So therefore, on the strength of what we had been saying from verse 1 of Philippians 2, it said, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, walk out your what? Own salvation with what? Fear and what? Trembling. Are we together? So as they've heard, listen to him in, while he was with them, and now while he's far from them, he said, they should work out their salvation. Of course, the salvation that he just spoke about, how that Jesus was humbled to death, obedient to death, and he received the name above every other name, that the name of Jesus, every knee confess that is Lord and God Almighty. Are we together? The next part of scripture, he builds and says, in verse 13, for it is God who works in you, both to what? Will, and to do for his good pleasure. Alright, now he has told you to what? Work out your salvation. Because he actually emphasized salvation from verse 1. The salvation Jesus attained on the cross. And he says, work it out. Are we together? Then he now says, but don't misunderstand the working out. It is God that works in you both toward will and the doing of his. Now, does that mean you should just sit down and expect God to work? No. We're going to understand that as we build. But something I want you to understand, the meaning of fear and trembling. Very important. Let's go to verse 12. It says, work out your salvation. And the writer here says, with what? Fear and trembling. Now, Paul is not the originator of this style of writing. Of course, if you look at the Old Testament, a lot of scripture that explains how somebody should serve the Lord in fear and rejoice with trembling. Let's see Psalms 2 from verse 11. It's a Bible style of writing in his days. Psalms 2 from verse 11. It says, serve the Lord with what? Fear and rejoice with what? Trembling. Now, how can somebody rejoice with trembling? Is that possible? If you think trembling should be a physical reaction that is gotten from fear, you know, many people, when they look at this part of scripture, they feel trembling should be like this. Are we together? Like, you know, when you see something and you are scared of it, then you begin to tremble. Do you guys get what I'm trying to explain? But that's not the meaning of trembling in that part of scripture. It's not a function of fear. Are we together? It says, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. That simply means the way we see trembling as a byproduct of physical fear, it's not the way scripture suggests. Are we together? It says, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. The Hebrew word here means reverence. Are we together? Not reverent. Reverence. Are we together? Meaning you respect somebody deeply. For instance, you don't fear me as your pastor. You only respect me. Are we together? Do you guys get what I'm trying to explain? Just that some of our physical parents, we don't only respect them, we fear them. Am I communicating? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? For some of us, we fear our mothers. We fear our fathers. But the things they say we should not do, we still do them. Is God not wonderful that when you were coming to BSU, they said, don't get boyfriend, face your book. But the first thing you achieved in BSU was what? You see? That simply means you fear them, but you don't truly reverence them. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? And you see, reverence must come from revelation, because truly, truly, even if you fear, respect somebody. Now, how many of you disrespect your parents here? Nobody. Even though you say, I will not do it, you still respect them. Do you guys get what I'm trying to say? But how many of you do everything they say you should not do? Not everybody here. Maybe some of it, but not all of it. Are we together? That simply means you may have the intention. Like some, you truly had the intention not to have a boyfriend. But there comes this cute young man that just came your way. And you couldn't help it. You had to just fully pray. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You actually respect your parents, but you didn't have capacity to not do what they say you should not do in some areas. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So for instance, they say, you know, I don't want to give very deep examples that will be quite disturbing. Let me say, they say don't cheat in exams. Right? And they say don't cheat in exams. Make sure you don't cheat. Read your books. How many of you have ever cheated in exams? Keep your hands down. Because I know you will not raise it up. But I'm sure your parents told you not to cheat in exams. But when you came to school, somehow you saw reality standing before you. When you saw what was on that questionnaire, you told yourself, it's either I graduate or my parents' school fees will be wasted. And you decided to help your parents. Am I communicating? You see? So you see, they told you not to do it, but you still did it because you didn't have the capacity not to what? Do it at that time, not now that you are a Christian. Now that you are a Christian, the Bible says you should not what? Continue in your sin. Are you all listening to me? You can actually avoid cheating by what? Huh? Not just reading. Some people have been reading for years. It's no entry. How many of you have done TDB and when you saw the questionnaire, you didn't understand what was happening? So it's not about jacking very well. Firstly, if you want to pass in school, how you see yourself is the number one solution. You must call yourself the intelligent, the brave one. Don't see yourself like an olodo. See yourself as an intelligent, the way you perceive yourself. You see, one of the first things God's word will do to you to kill inferiority complex. Low inferiority. So you will stop seeing yourself low. You start seeing yourself what? High. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? If you don't think you are a success, even if you read, you will not pass. Because you are not expecting to pass. But if you are expecting to pass your exams, there's a way you read with expectation. Me, I cannot fail. That's why you carry your book and begin to read. Because faith without work is what? Dead. Do you know there are some of us sitting there that we think that passing exam is for some people in the class? Am I communicating? They think passing exam is for some people in class. Not for everybody. Hallelujah to Jesus. Are we together? So because they've seen it like that, the way they read without expectations. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain to you? Just try to focus on me. That's all things you get when you don't have your auditorium yet. Hallelujah to Jesus. So that's a challenge. That's a problem. No expectation to pass. That is why they don't even read with so much optimism. Because they already feel like failures. Are we together? Do you understand what I'm trying to explain to you? Hallelujah to Jesus Christ. So that's why most people fail in school, not because they are not reading. So do you understand the meaning of fear and trembling now? Do you understand it? Does it suggest fear, physical fear? Huh? And I said something at the tail of the explanation that fear, that is real reverence for the Lord, comes from what? Revelation. If God said don't steal, if you don't have capacity not to steal, you will steal what? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Very important. So the Bible says, work out your salvation with what? Fear. Now go back to that part of scripture. Give me verse 13. It says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, meaning with all seriousness. With all what? Seriousness. That's what it simply means. Reverence. Meaning, you know, see your salvation so important that you want to see the fruit of your salvation. That you want to see what? the fruit of your salvation. What is the fruit of your salvation? The reason why Jesus died for you, was buried for you, and what? Resurrected for you. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain to you? Hallelujah to Jesus. The reason why he died for you, was buried for you, and what? Resurrected for you. Why did he die for you? Why was it buried for you? Why did he resurrect for you? Is it so that you keep on living in your former life? No. I hope all of you know that Jesus died for you to free you from your sins. Are you aware of that? And not just to free you from your sins, to make you a savior that will go out and communicate what he has done on the cross to other lives. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain to you? That way, the world will be beautiful. Do you know if Benway said, understand salvation, there will be no killing, Fulani killing and the rest? It's the corruption of the heart that has put us in this state. That is why you must communicate salvation everywhere you find your place. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And take it very serious, because tomorrow you may be a leader. How many of you want to be the governor of this state one day? Raise it up. Some of you are scared of politics because of the wrong things you have heard of politics. They say it is for criminals, it's for thieves. You know, you hear statements like they used to cook themselves, they used to enter pots. You hear those things, right? You, the Bible says you have entered Christ. If anybody be in what? Is a what? If you entered Christ and somebody is entering physical pots, which one is stronger? They say they used to sleep 3 days in burial ground. You were buried in Jesus' grave. You know, because we don't tie all this red bandana does not mean we are not serious spiritually. I've told you before, don't allow all those Nigerian movies make you scared of witches and wizards. You see them put leaves like goats on their mouth and be shouting and be hitting staff. You think they are more spiritual. The Bible says you are seated together with Christ. That's the height of spirituality. It says far above what? So why will an Azor spirit touch you? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? What Azor spirit? What impetus? In fact, for daring to touch you, they've made a mistake. They need to be cautioned. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain to you? Tell your neighbor, worry not. I don't like the way some of you are looking. Because of common house rent. I say, tap your neighbor and say, worry not. What is house rent? You know, we are preaching. Some of you, your problem is that you are listening to every preacher. When we are done preaching to you, you go and hear that God does not give money. Now you can't pay your house rent. And now you are left with no option but God. You start giving him names. You dey whine God. Giving him all the names. You are the provider of the providers. You call him Yoruba name, call him Tiv name, call him Idoma name, Igbo name. But you had believed on Facebook. Facebook pastors have told you that God does not make anybody prosperous. Have you heard people talk like that? It's a terrible statement. So terrible. He said, I'm the Lord God that giveth what? What does that mean? He said, God did not give cash. Okay, he gave us power to bring about cash. Who gave us the cash? You don't even understand what I'm trying to explain. Who has 1,000 naira here? Anybody? 1,000 naira cash. Raise it up. This church should not disgrace me. Wow. As mean there's no 1K, I would have cried. We need to pray that God of prosperity so much. Now, this is 1,000 naira. Who likes fufu in this place? You have a joint, you always eat fufu. Who is that? You have one joint. Ladies are raising their hand. This is a shame. They have a joint, they eat fufu. You that should do fufu in your kitchen, you are having a joint. This is where the problem is to start from. You'll not be calling your husband, honey, what will you buy for us today to eat? Alright. If you have a joint where you eat fufu in this place, raise your hand as a man, not a woman. Okay. Now, I'm not going to dash you this money. But I'm asking to tell you something because it's Pastor Peter's money. This one, you're a bony face. I'm not dashing your money out. Well, now, let me ask a question. Some of you that waved your hands, can I see you again? Just, all right. How much do you eat fufu wherever you eat, Richard? If you want to eat and be satisfied, how much will you spend? 1,000. 1,300. Okay. Your own is expensive. Oh. It's like you used to eat like 5 meats. Who eat fufu with this wine can feel very satisfied? Anybody here? It depends on where you are eating that fufu. Firstly, but this is what I'm trying to communicate. This 1,000 have the potency to give you a good plate of food after this service. Am I saying the truth? You will not talk now. Maybe I will give you this one. Am I saying the truth? Hallelujah to Jesus Christ. So if you have this 1,000 naira, will you eat after this service? There's some of you now, if I say, come and take this 1K, you'll be shouting yes. When I even say no, you'll say yes in this service. Man of God, preach, preach, preach. You'll be shouting with fire. Because you know, after this service, no matter the strength you waste in shouting, you will recover it all. With this 1K, it is the potency for a good plate of fufu after this service. He is the Lord God that giveth what? So this 1K is a proof that will chop fufu. The power to make wealth is a proof that will have cash. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So as long as I have that power to make wealth, I will what? Have cash. So in other words, who gave me cash? Who gave you fufu? The person that gave you the 1,000. Not the woman that gave you fufu at the joint. Because if you had gone without 1,000, she will flog you. Now, do you understand what I'm trying to say? Now, how can somebody look at that part of scripture and say, God does not give anybody money? Then I ask him why. You begin to carry unbelievers and start, begin to compare. You don't carry something from outside to compare from scripture. The scripture is the truth. The Bible is the truth. Is it, for instance, there are some people who are not born again, they are rich. That's not how you explain it. Use from the Bible. You know, for instance, I just heard a communication lately that Esau was richer than Jacob. You didn't read your Bible properly. Esau richer than Jacob? You don't understand the Bible. Maybe it was when Jacob was leaving that man's house after 7 years. Just when he was leaving. It may have looked like that at that point. But the blessing was where? On Jacob. Remember, he was serving a man for how many years? 14 years. And he left there with the man's two girls and a few lambs and was going. At that point was when he met Esau. Esau would have been richer than him because 14 years. But after Jacob settled down with the blessing working on him, you know, but whenever you want to prove wrong ideologies, you just begin to carry scripture and mix them anyhow. So what are you trying to say? According to the preacher, the blessing is useless. Jacob had the blessing, Esau was richer. That's wrong understanding. That's funny. I don't want to say that's stupid. What are we left with as Christians? Just tell us to stop going to church. Because you know, many will say, church, we are not coming to church to make money. That's what you don't understand. Money is one of the things that are added to us who are Christians. Money is not a focal point. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? For being a Christian, you are not a Christian because of money. But you get money as an addition if you become a Christian. You should definitely be rich. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain to you? Because if you seek first the kingdom, what? Every other good thing will be what? Added. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain to you? And that's why we're communicating this morning, work out your salvation. That God did it does not mean you see it. There are certain requirements, there are certain rules and regulations you have to follow. I'm not talking about the law. There are some laws of the spirit you have to put in place to see a manifestation of God's word in your life. Do you understand what I'm trying to talk about? And some people say Africa is backward with a lot of churches. Churches are not the reasons why Africa should be frontward. Government and government policies are the reasons why we should make progress. So you want to tell me that if I become the governor of this state, Fulani will kill one person? Do you understand what I'm trying to talk about? But I'm not the governor of the state. If I'm the governor of this state, let Fulani hear me. If you touch one person, we'll follow you to your village. and clear all of you in less than 24 hours. It's a that's the kind of road. In fact, as a governor, I will lead the parade. But I'm not the governor of the state. Do you understand what I'm trying to talk about? If I was a governor of the state, you kill 200 lives, including children, cutting their hands. Did you people see the children there? Their hands were cut, their stomach, some of them, they died. Children roasted. And that was the height of it. Yesterday, my wife was showing me a video. They were boasting that they roasted children. They were boasting as Fulani men, speaking Hausa, that they roasted children. And that's how they are coming to roast more people. I imagine I was the governor of the state. I will make sure I catch these two people first and lock them up. Because we can catch them. Are we that backward as a nation that we cannot use the IP address to tag these people? We can catch them from the message they sent on the internet. Get their IP address. Get where they are physically. Get them. Do you understand what I'm trying to talk about? But am I the governor of the state? Am I the president of the country? I can't take that kind of decision. So you cannot blame churches for the downwardness of a state and a country. Do you understand what I'm trying to talk about? So, you know, the church, they are blaming the church too much. There are certain areas you can blame the church, not all areas. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? And that's why you should not allow people to be blaming churches. And you see, be very careful, because some men of God are cloud chasers. They like the recommendation of men. If, for instance, right, I am a preacher. Of course, I'm a preacher. Let me give you an instance. Have I given you a 1,000 back? Okay. Go ahead. Face yourselves. See these two preachers now. Are we together? This man of God has a problem with this man of God. For instance, do you know he will make sure that all of us have a problem with this man of God? If wise congregation, do you people get what I'm trying to explain? Right things, the truth this man of God is saying, you will call it a lie because he has a problem with him. Do you people get what I'm trying to say? This man of God will not be entirely wrong. He may be wrong in some areas, and some areas he may be right. But because this man of God hates him, everything he's saying will be finding a way to make it wrong. Are you people get what I'm trying to explain to you? Most people are not discerning. They just move with everything. You know, somebody should not be your favorite preacher because he said don't pay tithe. Think about it. It's because they say don't pay tithe. And because you are greedy, he's your favorite preacher. Just because they say don't pay tithe. Okay, if you don't give tithe, what do you give to church? He said, I give free will offering. When last did you give free of will offering to church? It's just greed. Are you listening to me? Greed. In fact, talking about the poor, you that are saying that you take your money, when last did you take anything to the poor? You know, I was sharing with somebody, he didn't know anything about church. I was telling him, Pastor, he has more than 10 schools in the whole of West Africa. And listen, they are not just schools, they are free schools. They don't pay anything in the school as school fees. He has not come on Facebook and say, I have 10 schools, celebrate Jesus. He has never done that. He has more than 10 schools that are free in West Africa. They pay teachers free. They don't collect school fees. Just pass your exam and join the school. Okay, are we shouting that one? Not just him. Many men of God have things like that they do for people. But they are not shouting it. Who are you that will come and give a report card to you? Are you the ones to give us a report card? Say, church, listen, oh, this week I want to show you what I did. I gave these people 10,000. I gave the other person, I paid rent. From campus, I was paying rent. From campus as a student pastor. I was paying school fees. So we'll go and play Ninja Bet and come and meet me. Ninja Bet. And start crying and repent. So should I come and be saying all of these things to the public so that they think I'm a good pastor? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? My wife, immediately she started with her relationship. She suffered in my heart. This church have suffered that very well. She knows. Mama T, how much is in your account? 60,000. Send it to that Zuzo brother. He has rent issue. Pastor Simon, just like that, just like that. So if they say pastor's wife, it's a call, you know. Because if it's not a calling, they would have them forget that talk. Wait till be that. Now he give me the money. But she was said with no regret. Never. But Simon say, I'm tired for all this thing. I'm tired. I've never heard that. So it's a calling. Do you understand? Are you seeing that it's a calling? Because as I say 60,000, there's a way your heart say, God forbid. Me. My heart ain't money. And funny enough, some of them will still misbehave. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? There's a young man we were talking about not so long. We paid his school fees at 400 level, I think 2 semesters. And when he was gone, you know, when he was done, he started misbehaving in church. So he was suspended. Right now, they say he's telling people that, giving people wrong report about what to do in church. So we're talking about it with my wife. He said GCMI, Pastor Simon used to join two people to marry, that he will carry one person and carry another person and join them to marry. Do I have that kind of power in this church? That I will look at two people and say, we're not going to match. George, you and that babe close to you, I think you people look alike, marry. How can I do such a thing? I can't even sleep if I do such a thing. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Imagine I join two people to marry, then you start having problem in your home. Who is the first person? You know, I'm the one that will insult more. If not be that stupid prophet, I forget with this thing. That useless prophet, now you make me deal with you. And not maybe you are going, I'm Pastor Simon. All the blame will be upon me. I can never do that kind of mistake. You know, I had one of my ladies. She was trusting God for a man to marry. And there were several men coming. And there was this one she liked so much. She wanted to be sure. She said she has prayed and she has heard God. But let me confirm it. So I said, no, a confirmation is enough. She said, no, I must confirm it. I said, no, me, I will not confirm. She cooked food she brought. I ate. I did not confirm. When she was done, she said, Pastor Simon, I want to go. I said, go in peace. The confirmation, I said, come another time. A point came that anytime I come back home from playing football or from any activity during the day, I will see her in my doorstep sitting down waiting for me. What are you looking for? Sir, please just confirm this man. I refused to confirm the man till they broke up. They entered the relationship and they broke up. Thank God they broke up, because they now discovered that he was borrowing money from different people. He was in loans. And if she has married, she would have been the one to pay all the loan. In fact, the parents of the boy called her and said, if it's good for you, imagine your parent call an innocent lady. If you know what is good for you, run away. This one is not ready to marry you. That was the report she had. Now imagine, I now close my eyes and say, I think go with what you have selected. And she married, and the loans everywhere. Who will pay the loan? I'll be part of the people that will pay the loan. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That is why I don't do anything regarding relationship. I can, even if you people are obviously good for each other, that I see people so perfect, the guy so perfect, I will never say, take my approval. Go and receive the approval from God. Because whether Jews used to fall from the relationship, whether they are tapping palm wine from that relationship, one day will come that you say, I'm not your mate. There must be a day where the guy will say, see, I'm not joking with you, I'm not your mate. That I marry you does not mean I'm your mate. Are you listening to me? When I did not marry you, you were respecting me. Now you are calling me by my name. Am I your mate? They were saying Mr. Richard before, now it's Richard. Richard, hold yourself. Richard, how many times did I call you? You know, one of the first times when I got married, my wife said, one day like that, a long time passed. She said, Simon. Yes, that's what I said. Is it Simon? No, what was that? Can you remember? Let me remember. No, she said, okay. So we're chatting and she said, okay. So I then look at the message. I said, is that you? She said, yes. I said, okay. So when I came home, I said, come here. She came. I sat. I said, stand there. She stood. I said, if we're talking now, we conclude. What are you supposed to say? Check the chat. I said, okay now. I said, so you look at me. Prophet Simon of the Lord Most High. And you look at me and say, okay. And I ask her, when did that one start? I said, if you are not saying okay, baby, it should be okay, sir. Don't put me in the middle. I'm not an ordinary person. It should be okay, baby, or okay, sir. Choose the one you prefer. Not okay. Do you get what I'm trying to explain to you? Because I want my this thing to be maintained. Do you understand? Let me feel loved or feel respected. I'm not an ordinary brother on the street. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And I told her, I'm your spiritual father, even if you are my wife. And even if you have a child for me, I'm your spiritual father and a spiritual father. Two of you are my spiritual two children. Hallelujah to Jesus. Alright, 1 Timothy 6 and 12. Let me just hold my iPad so that I'll just rush this thing. 1 Timothy 6 and 12. Let's read together. One to go. He said, fight the good fight of faith. This is how we walk out our salvation. He said, we fight what? A good fight. By fighting a good fight of faith. Jesus has done so much for you. In fact, Jesus has done everything for you. Are you all listening to me? But you see, you will not see it in manifestation until you fight the fight of faith. You know why? Let me show you a scripture. 1 John 3 from verse 1. We'll read from verse 1. 1 John 3. Please, everybody, follow and listen. Want to go? Next part of scriptures. Next part of scripture. First John 5 from verse 1. Want to go? Next part of scripture. Next part of scripture. Next part of scripture. I hope I'm in the right place. Alright. Now, whatever is born of God, or whoever is born of God, what? Overcomes the world. And this is a victory that overcomes. And what is that victory? Our faith. So he said, fight a good fight of faith. Now, what's the victory that overcomes the world? Our faith. Not God's faith. Our faith in God. Our faith. And how does faith come? By hearing the word. Now, as I'm teaching you, you are realizing what God wants you to have, wants you to do. And after you realize it, you don't stop. You fight a good fight of what? Faith. 1 Corinthians 2 from verse 12 says something beautiful. Let's see from verse 11. 1 Corinthians 2, 11 to 12. It says, is what the Holy Ghost will do. It said, for what man knows the things of a man except what? The spirit of that man, which is in him. He said, even so, no one knows the things of God except what? the Spirit of God. Next part of scripture, it says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is, that we might what? So what does the Holy Spirit do with revelation, with the Word of God? He helps us to reveal everything God has given us. Do you see that? And when you know that, what do you do? You wage the good fight of what? Faith. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? You wage a good fight of faith. You don't just sit down. You know all the beautiful things God wants you to have? God wants you to live above sin. Does He want you to live above sin? God wants you to live above lack. Am I sure you know that? God wants you to live above fear, poverty. Mention them, everybody. Sickness and diseases, right? Go ahead. I heard bills. Yes, He wants you to live above bills. What else? Fear. No fear. That's what Pastor Anne said. She said fear. Fear. Hallelujah. Are you not the one that said it? You are the one that said it. You are putting it on our head. Say fear. Hallelujah. He wants you to live above lack. Say, I have money. I refuse to walk in lack. There are some people in the other that say, let me be realistic. I don't have money. Say, I have money. Plenty of it. Plenty of it. I'll never walk in lack. He wants you to live above sickness. Say, I can never be sick in my life. Now, when Paul said live above sickness, you have to see in his word. What did he say about sickness? In Isaiah 53, he said, by his what? By his what? You were what? Not where? Past tense. What do you do? Take it by force. Fight a good fight of faith. Lay hold of what Jesus has done for you. The summary of everything we have received in Jesus is called eternal life. It's a summary of everything. So you see, God has one sickness for you. Receive it. You insist. You fight a good fight of faith. The victory that has overcome the world is our faith. Not His faith. Our faith. And how does that faith come? By listening to God's word. By hearing God's word. Now that you have heard, fight a good fight of faith. I can never be sick. Now, if you refuse to fight the fight of faith, sickness will kill you. That's just a simple truth. You want me to be realistic to you this morning? Have you had people that die of cancer before? No fight of faith. Because they were playing religion. And I'm going to enter into that part very soon. Spiritual laws. Be mindful of spiritual laws. Don't play religion. There are churches where they told them that sickness is a test of their faith. That their sickness in their body is God testing their faith. Have you heard something like that before? To see, you know, hear some encouragement like God gives His strongest battles to His strongest soldiers. And that's why you have cancer. And you have what? Anemia. Which one is that one? Anemia, sorry. Sickle cell. Whatsoever, of course, sickle cell can be avoided by marrying rightly. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And so that you don't disturb your faith. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Before you marry, you check this thing. You don't say, that's my wife, let's move. Let go. You check. Hallelujah to Jesus. And etc. Now, but if you have that now, it can go. How many of you have seen God change sickle cell before? From SS to AA. If you have seen, don't say you know. Anybody know anybody that has happened to? I've seen God do that. If He did it before, He can do it again. See, there is nothing God cannot do. Are you aware of that? That's what makes Christianity beautiful. If you see it in the Bible, lay hold of it. Catch it. Many years ago, I was in a vision. A dear man of God appeared to me. I was struggling with something. He said, let the word of God be real as this book. He hates the Bible. He said, that is when you see a result in your life. The things which are not seen, the Bible says, are more real. By His stripes, my sicknesses are gone. The Bible says, so I refuse to be sick. I fight sickness. get out of my body. You don't say, sickness, please go. You don't cry sickness out. You know, someone was singing a song yesterday. I think I corrected that song. And I said, see, God is not pleased except by faith. You know, you're not praying to God and saying, God, please hear my cry. God does not hear cries. He is moved by faith. You know, somebody said, in the realm of the spirit, there are tears of people. Tears are weighty, the spirit realm. I tell you, tears are not weighty. Tears end in the ground when you cry. The only thing that moves to the realm of the spirit is your faith. The Bible says, it is only by faith that we please God, not by tears. Anything done outside of faith is useless. Say, God, hear my humble cry. There is no humble cry. Are you listening to me? All cry is cry. Which one is humble cry? Proud cry is humble cry. All cry, now cry. And cry does not move God. Now, except that your cry is cry of faith. You know there's cry of faith. Yes. When you are so pessimistic, it's working. And you are praying in the spirit. And all of a sudden, you start crying. At that point, you're not just being emotional. You are in faith. You know, they say, some people say, let your prayer be heartfelt. It must be effective before heartfelt. They are calling themselves the effective heartfelt. If you like, let it touch your heart. If it's not effective, it's not going to work. There's a point in Acts 17, the Bible says, at the days of ignorance, God neglected. The days of ignorance, God was neglected. But right now, it's not neglecting. Let me show you that part of scripture. It's in Acts 17. It's in the days of ignorance, God neglected. Acts 17:30. Truly these times of ignorance God overlook, but now commands all men everywhere to what? Repent. There were times of now. He's not talking about unbelievers here. Are you aware? He's talking about the Pharisees, the religious Christians. He was like, he ignored their wrong traditions in the days of ignorance because there was no knowledge. He said, but right now that knowledge has come, he said, repent. Repent means, in Greek, is metanoion. Have a mental transformation about a certain idea. Mean about God. They had a wrong perspective about God. God now wants them to have the right perspective about that, about him. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. So you don't say wrong things again because knowledge is everywhere. Are you listening? If you say something wrong now, even VDM will correct you. Because the Bible, the word of God is not scarce. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? He will correct you. Some people saw VDM quoting scriptures the other day. Proving somebody, not just somebody, a man of God wrong. And truly, certain things we say as men of God are wrong. They are wrong. You know, the other day, I think I remember. Let me just say this to help some of you. I heard a preacher saying, God was going to cause madness in the life of a preacher because the preacher was misbehaving. And he said that year it will happen. I didn't want to talk because I wanted the year to finish. Now the year has finished. We're in a new year. The madness did not happen. Because you see, your wish is not God's idea. You know, as a man, sometimes you have crazy, dirty wish. Because if you were a God, every preacher would have run mad. Including yourself, probably. But you are not God. Thank God you are not God. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? God is not a man. Even if God sees that a preacher is going wrong, the only thing he will do is that he will make sure the people realize he's wrong and run away from him. God doesn't delight in killing anybody or making anybody go mad. Because do you know God still wants that preacher to be saved? What he did on Calvary should paint a picture in your mind that God can go any mile for anybody. Do you understand what I'm trying to tell you this wonderful morning? Not just that. And I remember I heard something recently. I'm going to say it here. That someone was saying, if Because if we don't correct this mindset, some of you, when you hear those messages, you give up on God. He said, if Mary, for instance, a knight to Mary that gave birth to Jesus, right? A knight to her receiving the word from the angel Gabriel that she was going to give birth to Jesus. That if the night before that she had to lay with Joseph, what would have happened to her? She would have missed out in prophecy. How many of you saw that video? There was a video I saw like that. And I was aback. Now, am I communicating to you this morning that everybody go and be misbehaving? That's not what I'm trying to say. But he got it all wrong. Then he now said that, that's why I got pain. He said, certain people here, your destiny is tied to your virginity. It's not true. It's not true. So for instance, if we're in a congregation that probably 80% are not virgins, what happens to them? If for instance, their mind now communicated to them in that service as you are preaching that their virginity is tied to their destiny, they will just say, I've lost it. They will now choose the option of becoming prostitutes. This is how people go out of God and start misbehaving. Because they will condemn themselves. Nobody's destiny is tied to his virginity. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Am I saying go and misbehave? You're on your own if you go and do that rubbish. That's not what I'm communicating to you. What I'm trying to make you understand is that if you had made a mistake before, your mistake is too small to stop the great destiny God has for you. If God wants to still fulfill his will for your life, your mistake cannot stop him. Now, I'm not saying being your mistake, you should have repented at this time. Do you guys get what I'm trying to say? And if you repent, God can still use you what? Greatly. Say amen. That's the gospel. That woman that was condemned by the Pharisees that she was caught in the act of adultery, what did Jesus do to her? Did he condemn her? What did he do? He said she should go. Her sins are forgiven. It was that simple. No ritual. No any water. She did not enter anywhere. Go. Are you listening to me this wonderful morning? She was caught in the act of adultery. Now, was Jesus saying that adultery is okay when he forgave her sins? Please, church, listen to me. Don't listen to me with your religious ear. Listen to me carefully. What I'm saying is powerful. Else, some people may leave this church thinking that they are condemned all their lives. There is no way you understand the gospel and keep on living in sin. You can't live in sin when you understand the gospel. You can't. By God's special grace, nobody here have heard that I've tossed their sister outside my wife in this church. Nobody here have heard that kind of thing. You can't live in sin when you understand the gospel. But it does not mean that when you make a mistake, your own has finished. Am I saying go and make a mistake so that you test this thing I'm preaching? That's not what I'm saying. Are you listening to me this wonderful morning? But that's a wrong teaching. Mary was chosen because she is from the root. I mean, where the promise is supposed to find expression from. She is from that root. That's why she was chosen. It's her root that made sure she was chosen, not her virginity. We have said this in several times. People are not understanding. If you look at the root of Jesus, you will not even see any reason why Mary should have been chosen. I tell you, Jesus' great-grandmother, prostitute. I hope you know that. You know that woman they call Rahab? Huh? Do you know she is related to Jesus? Who was she? Hook up. And she is related to Jesus. Why did God, you know, if God stopped at Mary, he would have painted a picture that people will use wrongly. He had to connect great grandmother so that when they are celebrating virgin, they will not remember there was hook up at the base. I don't know that you are getting what I'm trying to say. Some of you are thinking I'm preaching hellish gospel this morning. You are praying for me in your soul. Lord, forgive this prophet. He doesn't know what he's saying. God, do you get what I'm trying to say? Pastor Peter is making it ambiguous, but I'll not go that deep. The reason why God did it like that is so that when you are thinking that, oh, God only wants to do things with virgins, you will not remember. But his great grandmother was what? Was a prostitute. You don't say, why did he have to come from Beirut? That would not console everybody that God is for everybody. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. But is he saying that he likes the character of that woman, Rahab? No. So that you don't misunderstand me today. Because some people will go home now and say, if you hear what Prophet Simon preached today in church, it doesn't mean that God was pleased with her character. Tell somebody God loves you. Tell it, shout it to their ear and they don't believe it. Say, God loves you. He loves you. And right now, if you just accept him, if you just come back to him, you know, some people, you know, there's a saying I heard somewhere, and they say, if you repent, you will take like 2 months before you get your fire back. It's a rubbish teaching. It's a very useless teaching. That if you're on fire before and you repent, it takes like 2 months for sanctification. Christ has been made to us sanctification, righteousness, 1 Corinthians, holiness and wisdom. When the prodigal son repented, when did they wear the white robe for him? Was it 2 weeks later? Was it 14 days later? When did they wear the white robe for him? Same day, that same moment. Do you people get what I'm trying to explain? Where did they celebrate him? Which cow, the biggest investment in the kingdom, was killed for him in one day? Slaughtered. The people that have been serving God, he did not say kill it. Oh, I'm not saying God is not pleased with you that has been serving him. Trying to show you how God thinks. For one person repenting, heaven is not small party. He just wants you back. Tell somebody God wants you back. That's just what he wants. He wants you back. Forget all of those religious decorum. God wants you back. Tell somebody God is not mad at you this wonderful morning. His desire is that nobody perishes. You see, you might be useless before by men, by women. You know, women you don't use to useless men. Hope you are aware. Men, women, abused in several ways. But listen, God wants you back. You are the apple of his eyes. I was in my office one day. A lady came to me. Pastor, I was abused at the age of, was it 12? She said, and this and that. And Pastor, I hate men. Blah. While she was crying, I was touching my phone. She was like, Pastor, were you listening to me? I said, yes. Pastor, did you hear everything I said? I said, yes. Really? I said, yes. I said, you want me to join you and cry? And she said, why did you take it so calm? So I kept my phone. I said, I took it not so serious because Jesus has done something more serious for us. Is it okay that you were abused at age 12 and etc.? It's not okay. Those are idiots. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? But Jesus has covered everything. He has done something more beautiful for you. And if you just step into what Jesus has done, your life will become glorious. He needs nothing from your past to make your future wonderful and bright. Are you listening to me? Nothing from your past. Say, Pastor, I've gone through a lot. I've done. Jesus needs nothing from your past. What he has for you in the future is a light so shining, and in this light there is no what? Trace of darkness. Say, my life is beautiful. Say with boldness, say, my life is beautiful. One of the things God's word will do is that it will bring back your steeds. That's your steeds. It will bring it back. Now you go back to people that you have often seen together with. Look at them and say, I'm the righteousness of God. Even if they dare to condemn you, you don't feel ashamed. Say, I'm the righteousness of God. It brings back your steeds, your spiritual steeds. You feel okay. They say, look at this wasted teen. You say, no, you may call me a teen, but whose report will I believe? God thinks I'm beautiful. He thinks I'm wonderful. I may have made several mistakes, but I'm wonderful. I may have made terrible mistakes, but I'm beautiful. Are you listening to me? Stop seeing yourself from your past mistake. You are not your mistake. You are who God says that you are. Do you know somehow God drifted my teaching this morning? I tell you, this is not the direction I really wanted to teach all of you. It kind of drifted my teaching and I'm following the flow. Say, I'm who God says that I am. You know, I came here to fire you with kingdom. kingdom, fire you a kingdom. But you see, one day God told me something. He said, grace is as important as teaching kingdom. And I said, why? He said, because grace is a path to the kingdom. If people don't understand the path, how do they get into the kingdom? And that is why you must really understand the grace message and teach it so effectively. Tell somebody your sins are forgiven. I tell you the truth. The Bible says in his name there is forgiveness of sin. As you enter the name, sins forgiven, iniquity gone. And listen, capacity not to live in sin is in you, right? Capacity not to live in sin. That's the balance. Are you listening to me? Say, I have capacity. I can walk in sin. Shout, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. One more time, shout it like you mean it. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. In 2 Corinthians 7:1, see something beautiful the Lord says. 2 Corinthians 7:1. He said, therefore, beloved, therefore, having these promises, we are building on something. Therefore means we had said something about the promises before. Having these, T-H-E-S-E, these promises that I've just spoken about to some extent this morning. He said, beloved, let us what? Cleanse ourselves from what? All filthiness. Of what? The flesh. And what? Perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. You see that? Having these promises, knowing this wonderful thing I've just said. He said, let us therefore cleanse ourselves. You see, this is what it means to work out your salvation. Living holy is a function of your union with the Holy Spirit. Because the Bible said at the next part of scripture of Philippians 2, it says in verse 13, it said, it is the Lord God that worketh in us both to what? Will and the doing of his good pleasure. So that when you hear work out your salvation, you will not think you should use your hand. Meaning align with the Holy Spirit to help you work it out. Are you listening to me? When he spurs you up to pray, when he tells you to fast, see, a lot of problems you are having, if you take 1 week prayer and fasting, it will go away. I remember the Holy Spirit telling me this many years ago. He said, a lot of problems you people have. He said, it's because you don't stay with me. If you abide in my presence, there's this holy impetus you have. Because he said, I've not given you the spirit to fear again, but the spirit of what? Of what? Of what? You cannot have fearful mind if you sit with the Holy Ghost. You only have sound mind. Are you listening to me? Sound mind means you would look at yourself and say, I can't see. That's sound mind. I can't see. If you don't have sound mind, you can't talk like that. See that we have understood grace. This is the part of grace. He said, therefore, having the knowledge, having these precious promises, what did he say at the end? Let us cleanse ourselves. Glory to God. You know, in the tale of 1 Timothy 6:12, it said, fight the good fight of faith, take hold of the eternal life to which you were called. It's not something you have received the eternal life before. It said, fight to make sure it's yours. Then it says, when you made the good confession before many witnesses, oh, I have eternal life in the name of Jesus. People say, don't stop there, go back home, keep on fighting. I have eternal life. I have eternal life. I have eternal life. I've been bought with a price. My sicknesses are gone. In the name of Jesus, my diseases are gone. My sin is forgiven. In the name of Jesus, I can't live in sin. No, I can't live in fear. I have eternal life. In the name of Jesus, that's how you talk. And many more. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You don't just sit there and say, let the word of God walk. No, you fight. He said in 2 Timothy 2:15, say, make every effort to present yourself approved to God and an unashamed workman who accurately handles the word of truth. Meaning the way you handle the word of truth determines how you are presented before God. The way you handle the word of truth. Don't say wrong things. Don't believe wrong things. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? In Mark 7:9, very fast media, let's try to round up. He said, and he said unto them, full well ye rejected the commandment of God that ye may keep your own tradition. He said to them, all too well you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your own tradition. Why did they reject the commandment of God? To keep their own tradition. That way they limit the glory of God on their inside. And that's what is happening with a lot of people. When you keep your own ideologies and you reject God's ideology, you suffer as a Christian. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You suffer. I was talking with my dad 2 days back. I was being very real with him. And I'm going to be very real with you people this morning. Should I be real? He asked me, he says, Simon, that thing you were saying before, explain it again. Let me hear. I said, because he was complaining. He said, when we do this, the business will either spend for this or will spend for that. The business is not working. And I said to him, I said, I told you before, watch out your confession. Watch out the things you say. He said, that one, how does it consign? I said, it consigns it. Then I opened the scripture. Let me even open that scripture and show you people, because I'm even talking about it. James 3. James 3 from verse 1. From verse 1. Are we there? Can we have in the TBT rendition? My dear brothers and sisters, don't be so eager to become a teacher in the church, since you know that we who teach are held to a higher standard of judgment. Firstly, if you want to be a teacher or a pastor, this is what it means. Your judgment is higher. Next part of scripture is as simple as that. There's nothing to explain there. It says, we all fail in many areas, but especially with our words. Yet, if we are able to bridle the words we say, we are powerful enough to control ourselves in every way. And that means our character is mature and fully developed. Please follow me carefully, church. Are you listening? Catch this last thing. Even if you are feeling hungry, catch this last thing before you go. Verse 3. It then says, horses have bits and bridles in their mouths so that we can control and guide their large body. How do you control a horse? In verse 2, he says, you are mature if your words are right. Then in verse 3, he said, you control a horse. He's trying to give us an example. Cite an example on the end that you control a horse. I don't know if you have ridden a horse before and you use rope and turn. Do you know why they turn at once? You hold their mouth. When you turn it this way, the pains will make them turn at once. It's trying to teach you something about that. It says, so that we can control and guide their large body. So the whole large body of the horse is controlled from where? The mouth. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Next part of scripture, verse 4. It then says, and the same with mighty ships. You know, big ships that like you watch in movies. You control the big ship from the mouth of the ship. From the tip, the very mouth at the front, that's where you control the big ship. Though they are massive and driven by fierce winds, yet they are steered by a tiny rudder at the direction of the person at the helm. At the direction of the person at the helm. Next part of scripture. Because it means the mouth. And so the tongue is a small part of the body, yet it carries great power. You see that? Hey church, are you seeing this? I don't die. Oh, look at it now. You dey mad? God won't punish you. It says, so the tongue is a small part of the body, yet it carries great power. Just think of how a small flame can set a huge forest ablaze. Small flame. They say, who was playing with the match? He says, Junior. Junior just light the match is small. The whole forest now is burning. From small fire. You see that? That's how powerful the tongue is. You see this mouth you have? It's so powerful. So I was talking to my dad the other day. I said, it's your mouth, your confession that's put you in this. He said, Simon, how? I said, there was a certain prayer many years ago I condemned. Remember? And he started remembering. We were praying in our house one day and listened to the prayers. It goes like this. Hail, Holy Queen, Mother of Mercy. To you do we cry, poor, banished children of Eve. To you do we cry, poor, banished children. Listen to the words. To you do we cry what? 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 And I said, Jesus in the prayer. And I stood up and held my mouth. And after the prayer, I said, Simon, what's wrong with you? I said, I've been making this confession for years. I didn't know. Maybe that's why my life has been like this. I have been always 365 days. We say 1 decade of the rosary. And every day we say it, we are saying things like this. Two do we cry, poor, banished children of Eve. And I told my dad, this is the last day I will ever make that statement. I'm not a poor. I'm not a banished. And I'm not a child of Eve. I'm born again. Now, if you are born again, you don't talk like that. Are you listening to me, people of God? It's religious and it will kill you. That's what the Bible said in the book of Luke 7. It said because of their religion, they kept aside the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. And there are many people like that. The tongue is so powerful. And I told my dad, if you can stop this prayer for 1 year, you will see what will happen to your business in less than 1 year. Are you listening to me this wonderful morning? Your words are powerful. Lastly, angels move in the direction of the word of God. You cannot say, I am powerful, I'm like Christ today, and tomorrow you say, Lord, I am nothing but a pencil in the hand of the Creator. You cannot be a son of God seated at the Father's right hand and a pencil at the same time. Are you listening to me? Angels move in the direction of the word. If you are fighting a good fight of faith, your communications must be right. Are you listening to me? You cannot say I'm poor today and I'm rich tomorrow. Say I'm rich. Now, never say you are poor. When you are done from church and go back home, don't joke with poverty. Yesterday I was teaching my guys after we're done cleaning the church, our land where we went, when we got our land, we did some work there yesterday. And I said to them after the service, I said, don't talk like poor people. Talk like rich people. Alright? Don't talk like what? Talk like intelligent and rich people. How many of you want your children to one day say, oh, but waiting a sup now? Eclair ba. Now this one, and you don't want your children to sound like this. Listen. Hi, how are you? Hope you're having a great day today. How do you want your children to sound? The first or the second? Most of you that are saying second, this is how you talk, the first. So you talk like this, but you want your children to sound like this. Why do you think they should sound like this? I thought it's not a bad thing if you say, my guy, what did they sup now? He clever. They whine me. So, so and so. I thought it's good. If it's cool, then why are you telling your, praying your children to be like, to talk like Queen Elizabeth? Because you know that the first way of talking is tied to a bad place. Bad upbringing. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? As I'm talking, and some people say, Pastor, see, don't insult our upbringing. I'm not insulting. How many of you used to have people in your street, in the same neighborhood, in the same class, that their names are always Junior? They are in your street, but their names are Junior. Wave your hand. Anybody like that? You had a Junior in your class, the same street, too, where people are poor, but Junior is in that same street in your class, and Junior is different. Wave your hand. Junior is very neat. In the same away street, Junior is real, is neat. The same away street, Junior talks well. You go to school, in the same away street, Junior is carrying first. Anybody ever had a Junior in their life? You people are not raising your hand. You never had any Junior. Okay, you are the Junior. Alright, Juniors, well done. Hallelujah to Jesus. But you people know what I'm talking about. They are always unique. They are cooler when they come to school. Even their food will taste better. It will sense better. You are wondering, are you not in our street, Junior? Why is your life different? Because the parent made sure that Junior was different. And if you observe Junior, it starts from the parents. The parents are unique in the way they talk. Everybody is saying, I day now, the parents are always speaking English in the same street. Hello, Mr. Samson, how are your kids today? And you see your father say, this man could just speak English anyhow, where everybody did speak. That's why Junior became different. The Bible says we are in the world, but we are not of the world. Listen, it's hard to stop vernacular English. I mean broken English, like Pastor Anne would say. I mean pidgin. It's very hard. It's like addiction. That's why even the people that preach it used to fall sometimes. It's very hard. But listen, in my own opinion, it attracts poverty. I know some of you are arguing with me now in your mind. Allow for now. What did it happen now? Rehearsal, don't start. How about you change? Do you know you become a new person? Most of you, if you start speaking English, you don't realize yourself in 2 weeks. Everything about your life will change. Imagine I beg, I don't like the way they behave. Please, I don't like the way you are behaving. Everything about your life will change. You know, some of you, if your sister speak English, self, you have a problem. Amaka na me they speak English for. I beg. I don't like her. You know, one time when I started having this revelation, I was talking with my immediate younger sister. We are like twins. So one day we were talking and I started speaking Queen's English. So how have you been? So what's happening? So how did your day go? You got a new job? I got a new job now. Okay, so what's happening in this new job of yours? She's like, Simon, you're mad. Now, me, they talk to you like that. I said, I better not speak me English. Yo. I'll call this caller. I said, no. I'll stop speaking that kind, that way. I was not speaking Queen's English with you. And she started shouting on the phone. I beg. I don't like this kind of routine. Which one of you that one? Blah, blah, blah. I said, speak English. Tell somebody speak English. After church service, be determined, start speaking English. Ima, you are hearing me, ba? It will change. Lord, you know, imagine an angel standing before you. Oh boy, what's it happen now? Oh boy, hunger, choke, he choke. How would the angel understand what you are saying? But imagine you are speaking. Is it some person? They don't speak English in heaven. That one, if they keep English and this one, which one would they speak in heaven? Imagine God comes to the earth and is in Nigeria, and God will be like, "Oh boy, what did they happen now? Pilot don't show. He don't show. They can tell pilot say, and they come there, and nothing will solve." Jesus will not even choose that kind of English. You know what I'm talking about. He would rather speak Queen's English. So change your language. Don't say things like, "Kai, Nigeria choke this season. Things choke. Things hard." It's Florida. Even 2000. What is 2000? 500 to see choke. Oh boy. Maybe small prayer point. Money when they send for me next week, I don't even know how I spend them. You know, some people have given excuses till now. They lie in righteousness. They don't even know they are lying. They are familiar with lies. Oh, but I don't get anything. No. The last money one I get, I just use it and take my cup church. How to go house, seven? I don't know how to take go house. After service, I go talk to one or two choir people. May they show me love. Don't talk like that. After this service, watch out for your friends. If you hear anybody speak vernacular, report them. Speak what? Queen. In this church, it's Queen's. Don't you see how we are dressed? Do we look like local champions? How can somebody be dressed like this? I'm saying, "My God, Father, I'm waiting this up." How? Watch out. If you start speaking Queen's English for 1 week, 2 weeks, you start getting money. You'll be attracting the right people. Do you know you may be in an environment they are speaking vernacular, you that is speaking English. When there's a time for somebody to get a job, they say, "Give that guy, he knows, he fits the job." Sometimes if you speak English, you even think you're intelligent. Am I saying the right thing? Have you seen people that speak English in class that used to feel very well? But for the moment, you first think they are what? Intelligent. Don't now go and give them course rep. Because they are speaking English. Most of your course rep is English that give them course rep. Speaking English. So everybody will think they are intelligent. And you know, benefit comes with becoming a course rep. The last 10 naira, you eat it. You hardly get a carryover as a course rep. When they see your name, they say, "Make I just allow this person go." You see? You would have gotten all of these advantages, but you were speaking vernacular everywhere. Even with teacher, I say, teacher, Alpha, sorry, teacher, what is that? Change your language. Are you listening to me? Change your language. Don't say bad things so that angels will understand that it's you God sent them to. Imagine God looks at an angel and says, go to Mercy. She's my son. She's my daughter. The angel comes to Mercy. Mercy now. Oh boy, I don't die. Today, choke. Man, I'm just dead, man. I feel so sick. Any spot in Mercy will be like, Ima, I think get 2K for your hand. Life hard, though. Mercy's angel is watching. Who did they send me to? I thought God said she's a royal priesthood. This one is not royal priesthood, though. It's a local princess. Talk the right things. All of you, listen, if you remove your mind from beggar to royalty, angels will start listening to you. Even if you have elder brother, you must not tax them. Calm down. Start trusting God. Put your hope in God, not God through your elder brother, God through your father. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Say, it's God that I trust, but Uncle Donald will give me money, but it's God that I trust. Brother Donald, God will use you to give me money, you hear? You see? I'm pretty. I still say amen. See your life? I don't even know what to say again. But I just wish all of you will repent. Hear me and just repent. Are you listening to me? Just repent. If you repent, your life will change. In fact, some of you will get a job all of a sudden. Are we together? Are you listening? Bow your heads and pray. Father, we give you praise and we worship you. Thank you for your word. It's light and life to us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
I am sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays, first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.